Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Power Up and Game. This is not Michael Mosley speaking. My name is Taylor Cole. I'm going to be your host today. Joining me, though, is Michael Mosley. Michael, how you doing, man?
Oh, a little groggy. I actually had a late nap before the podcast, but I am energized and ready to go.
Let's get into our docket for today. The highly anticipated Knights of the Old Republic PS5 remake has reportedly been delayed indefinitely. Multiverses is off to one hell of a start, hitting great numbers on Steam. We'll talk about that and maybe even our thoughts on the game so far, if we played it. Marvel's Black Panther has been in the headlines lately, not just because of the recent Wakanda Forever trailer at San Diego Comic-Con last weekend, but it's being reported by gaming insider Jeff Grubb that EA is making an open-world Black Panther game. We'll go over all the details you need to know about that report. And in our main topic this week, Bloomberg dropped a report sharing new details about GTA 6. We're talking locations, protagonists, and all sorts of other stuff about the game. Michael, ready to get into this?
Oh yeah.
Let's get into our first story of the week. Knights of the Old Republic has reportedly been delayed indefinitely. In a report from Bloomberg, it was said that the highly anticipated Knights of the Old Republic remake has been delayed indefinitely and, quote, is in serious trouble, end quote. Bloomberg states that Asper, I think that's how you pronounce that, the game's developer, had, quote, abruptly fired the game's art director, Jason Miner, and design director, Brad Prince, this month. In a series of meetings throughout July, Asper's two studio heads told employees that the project is on pause and that the company will look for new contracts and development opportunities, said the people who were not authorized to speak publicly about the situation, end quote. Later in the report, Bloomberg goes over what went wrong and why the game was suddenly shelved. Basically, the studio put together a playable demo to show production partners Sony and Lucasfilm. Just a week later, and despite the dev team feeling ecstatic about the game, both Prince and Miner were let go. From there, it appears the studio heads weren't fans of the remake's direction. Check out Bloomberg's report to get the full purview of this story. But before we talk about it, there's one last excerpt from the article we want to share. And here it is. Quote, at the outset of development, Asper told staff and partners it would release the game by the end of 2022, according to two people familiar with production. Developers said a more realistic target now would be 2025, end quote. Michael, I'm going to just go ahead and straight up ask you, man. Are you worried about this game?
At this point, there's nothing to worry about because it's been bared out to us. There is no remake coming anytime soon. So you can go ahead and scratch that off your wish list. Because if they said like the best you will get right now is 2025, but there's no directors in the chair, the longer there's no director, the longer you can push out that hope and feeling, because whatever new director they got coming in, they're pretty much going to have to start from the ground up. Because if they don't have anybody in there already, it's because they didn't have anybody capable and trained up to take those spots. And since Aspire is trying to find different contracts, that means the next couple of years is going to be working on those contracts instead. So that means development won't be picked up again till at least 2024. Which means 2025 is not going to happen, so you can just go ahead and scratch that off your bucket list right now.
Now, I can't look at the Bloomberg article because it's behind a paywall right now, but I believe it was also said at the end that Saber Interactive has been getting involved, and some people at Asper kind of get the feeling that they might take over. So that's a possibility, but what you said is completely accurate, especially considering the fact that for some reason, Sony and Lucasfilm they didn't like it. Didn't like whatever direction. I don't know what the hell was in that demo. I think the demo was called Vertical Slice, I believe. But whatever it is that they didn't like, you gotta imagine that whoever's coming in next, or whoever, if Asper keeps somehow keeps control of this, that it's gonna go in a completely new direction. So yeah, I don't even know. Like, 2025, I don't think that's even a possibility.
Yeah.
When you're looking at it. I know this is a remake, too, so you're not creating something to where it's completely original and you have to come up with new voice lines and new characters and all that stuff that original stories would. But at the same time, it feels like this game doesn't have great... I don't want to say direction, but... It doesn't have that thing to where I don't think people are on the right page, whatever it is.
Yeah, right, there's no real leadership for this game right now. And it sounds like whatever the two directors had going on just wasn't working out for anybody. What I found interesting is the art director is being let go. He's like, wow, like what was the look they were going for? Like, was it too far gone from the original Knights of the Old Republic? Were they trying to make it look too much like the modern Star Wars? Was it not looking enough like the modern Star Wars? Like, there's some weird stuff that's going on there. Because if you're getting rid of the director of the art department, I mean, of the art director, then
that that's not just like I don't like the design of the game. That's also
like the look, like there's something
wrong the look of the game too.
And when you get rid of the design director, it brings even more like was it character designs? Was he working on the design of the world? Like because they have to work hand in hand, the art director and the design director. Like, they had to work hand in hand. So I'm thinking that's what it is. Maybe it was just the look of the game that's just it just threw people off. Because Grand Theft Auto, we saw how horrible remasters can be with that, and since this is a full blown remake, maybe the game just didn't run well. Maybe there was just something going on with the art of the game that just didn't make it look like the original, or maybe it was just too far from what made Star Wars Star Wars. Like, we won't know until somebody starts leaking some of the stuff out, because we know it's going to happen sooner or later.
See, it's another layer to this that's also unfortunate, is the fact that we're not getting the full picture. We don't know what exactly happened, that the partners didn't like, why the directors were let go.
Yeah, and the thing, like, we've seen what a good remake could be. Blue Point, they're great at doing full-blown remakes. And even their art direction with, I think it was Demon's Souls, the remake of Demon's Souls, the art direction that they took with that one was pretty different from the original. And a lot of the fans really didn't like the way they changed the aesthetic of the game. So maybe that was kind of the same thing here. Maybe the aesthetics changed to the point to where it was unrecognizable. And it just seemed like it wasn't Knights of the Old Republic. So I don't know, there's a lot that can go in there, but like you said, we don't have the full picture. And once we start seeing concept art and test footage and all that, then we'd be able to be like, okay, so from what we've seen, this is what we can put together.
Yeah, exactly. But hopefully we do end up seeing this game down the line. My biggest worry about this story is Knights of the Old Republic, the remake, is going to go into quote-unquote development hell. You know what I mean? To where a game will just get put there, sit on the shelf for so many years, and either get forgotten about completely, or 10 years down the line, we see it again. So hopefully that doesn't happen.
We see it with Ubisoft with a couple of games. Prince of Persia has been in development hell for a while, and Beyond Good and Evil 2 is infamous for being in development hell. Knights of the Old Republic remake could easily be the next development hell game that everybody was looking forward to.
But moving on to our next topic, Multiverses is a big hit on Steam. The WB Smash Brothers-esque game Multiverses is a bona fide hit on Steam, hitting well over 100,000 concurrent players on the platform. In case you haven't heard about this game, Multiversus is a platform fighting game. Again, a lot like Super Smash Bros. The game features tons of WBIP characters, such as Batman, Shaggy, LeBron James, Superman, Wonder Woman, Harley Quinn, Arya Stark, Steven Universe, Velma, and more. Michael, have you gotten the chance to play Multiversus yet?
To be honest, I'm free to play it out. I have a buddy who loves fighting games. He's enjoying the hell out of this. I think the only problem everybody has is with Taz right now. Taz apparently is a bit OP because he has a certain attack that can just demolish people if it's timed right. Especially if you have Taz in the match. I'm seeing that LeBron James is pretty fun to play. I think his attack animations and his mechanics are pretty interesting. So I've seen the game. It looks okay-ish. I don't know. I can't get excited for another free-to-play. We're going to slowly drip out new cartoon characters by the month or bi-monthly or whatever. I haven't played it, and I'm not going to.
Well, you must be fun at parties today.
I'm sorry, it's just I can't take another free-to-play game. What's that roller game that...
Roller Champions? That was rumored to be...
Rumored to be canceled after Season 3, and Ubisoft was like, no, we're not canceling that. It's just these free-to-play games, they've always come out half-assed, and maybe Multiversus is different because they did have a $40 founder pack first, so maybe it put some effort into it. But I'm kind of lost faith in free-to-play games, so now every free-to-play game I am very iffy about.
What do you make of the game's popularity?
I think it's well-deserved. I know a lot of people are looking forward to battling their favorite mascot. These kind of games are usually popular for a reason. I mean, Brawlhalla is still quite popular because it added in a lot of favorite characters from 20, 30 years ago, and people love it. And yeah, you get to beat up Taz with Bugs Bunny and bring in, not Lord of the Rings, but Game of Thrones into that mix. And it's really cool. I understand the popularity for it because everybody does like crossovers now. And they don't hide the fact that, hey, it's multiple universes. It all comes together. Who cares? Have fun with your favorite IP character.
Yeah, so about an hour before we recorded, I got the chance to download the game, play a little bit of it. I did not buy the Founders Pack or whatever. It's just a free version. So I got a chance to basically play around with the controls and the feel of it. I played one game. It was pretty fun, surprisingly. I was kind of surprised at how smooth it played, and it does feel like this is a game that a lot of effort was put into, surprisingly, which I didn't think it would be when it was first announced. You see the WB character. I think also because I was coming off of seeing... I think it was around the time the Space Jam 2 came out, wasn't it?
Oh, so you got that LeBron James high, huh?
Yeah, that was... No, not a high. Definitely not a high. I wish I was high for watching that movie. But it was just one of those things that's just like, I don't... Really? All right. I don't give a fuck about this. And so when this game, you know, it's as popular as it is, and I'm seeing it all over the place, I'm like, all right, is there legitimacy behind all that hype? I kind of see the reason why people are enjoying it so far. Again, I haven't gotten fully into it, just played about 30 minutes. There's some fun special moves. Shaggy has like a move to where, I guess his ground attack is he pulls a sandwich out of the ground or something like that. It's really ridiculous. There's one character that I don't know what they're from, but it can like pull characters back from falling off the ledge or something. So if you're playing as a team, there's these team like character unique abilities that they have. So you can just use that character, reel in one of your teammates so they don't fall off the map, and the other person kind of play more loosely off the map and the air attacks and all, which is pretty cool. I'm kind of not surprised, though, that this game is as popular as it is, at least to start off with, because this is a free-to-play game. Here's the thing. As much as I love Super Smash Bros., the one thing about Super Smash Bros. Is it's only on Nintendo. So having a game that plays so much like Super Smash Bros., which it does, a lot of people are going to get attracted to that. It's just, it's a natural, like, oh, a game that kind of plays like Super Smash Bros.? I gotta try it out. I cannot wait. And I don't mean this in a bad way, like, oh, I hope it fails. I hope this game succeeds. I hope it makes a lot of money. But I can't wait to see what this game does in 3 months. If it's still popular, if it fell off a cliff, what happens here? Because I think you have something really cool here that people are actually interested in.
Yeah, and that's going to be the biggest problem. I mean, not problem, but a challenge for the game is longevity. WB has a lot of characters. They have a lot of IPs they can pull from. So there's not going to be any shortage of playable characters that can potentially show up. But the thing is, people are having phoned it now, but then there's going to be more free-to-play games come out. And really, how long will this hold up? I mean, if WB does something like Evo championships and stuff like that, then I think the game has a chance of having some long legs. But it all depends on how WB treats this property. They have to do more than just release characters. They got to keep the hype going by doing tournaments and being part of Evo and just doing stuff that Nintendo wouldn't do with Smash Brothers, like let players there's a tournament that, oh no, there was a fan-made tournament that Nintendo shut down. If WB will let fans do fan-made tournaments and like let it be legit, I think it'll have a good chance of staying around a lot, because it'll allow it to have that community that's fully dedicated to it.
Yeah, to me, this is the first step that this game would have to take to really take off. And that's like, okay, out of the gate, we are really popular. We're hitting crazy numbers on Steam. I don't know what it is now, by the way. I'm going to try to pull it up.
Ooh, I think it had a peak like 100,000 players at one point.
Nah, not a peak of 100,000 players. It was more than that.
Really? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. A 24-hour peak is 145,436.
Yikes!
And that is as of July 28th.
The day that we're recording this podcast.
Yeah. So that's massive. Like, I know I said I wasn't surprised that this game was popular. Let me rephrase that. I'm not surprised that it was somewhat popular and it was making the rounds in its launch week. I am shocked that it's this popular. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah,
that's just on Steam.
I didn't know it was doing numbers like that. Like, I thought, like, when I saw the peak was 100,000, but 140. Ooh, wow.
So this is their first step, I think, is you're hitting these crazy numbers, and it's like, oh, high fives all around in the dev team right now. I think that's just very well deserved. High fives all around, great job, but you gotta capitalize off it, I think, if you want the game to thrive as a, would it count as a live service, basically?
I mean, all those free-to-play games are pretty much live service, yeah. So yeah,
it's live service. Well, a Smash Brothers-esque, yeah, I guess so. Technically counts. But, speaking of live service, let's talk about EA.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, at least this isn't a live service. EA is reportedly making an open-world Black Panther game. According to notable insider Jeff Grubb via Giant Bomb's Game Mess Mornings, a single-player open-world Black Panther game is in development at EA. It's also said that the game is in, quote, very early development, end quote. In terms of what the game will be about, Grubb had this to say, quote, the game starts with Black Panther being dead, and the player is going to take on the challenges of becoming the new Black Panther, and that seems to be the setup for the game. It is very likely being produced by the new Seattle studio that was founded by Monolith Productions vice president and studio head Kevin Stevens, end quote. Grubb goes on to say that EA is hoping to build on the success of Jedi Fallen Order. Basically, it's not a live service game, and the goal is to create a great open world single player experience. What are your thoughts on this report, Michael?
EA can't be trusted. I'm sorry, I'm just going to go right out and say it. EA can't be trusted. This is like if Square Enix had the license to do it. Like, I don't trust them, to be honest.
Even after Guardians of the Galaxy? Well, I think it would depend. It would depend on the developer.
Yeah, yeah. And since Square no longer has their Western developers, yeah, I definitely don't trust them to do any open world game justice. Ubisoft, if it was Ubisoft, I would kind of understand it because we would know what to expect because it's a Ubisoft open world game. But I don't know. EA, don't trust it. They haven't been that great with the license Marvel in the Marvel's license in the past. They haven't been great with the Star Wars license in the past. They had a couple of cool gems here and there. You know, they had Jedi Fallen Order and they had Rogue Squadron. EA, open world game. Don't trust them. Chances are it's going to be built off of that crappy ass Frostbite engine. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it.
All right, so I went through a roller coaster here. Let me take you on that roller coaster, Michael.
I enjoy roller coasters, so let's go.
So when I heard about this, I was like, oh shit, this is going to be awesome. I can't wait to learn more. And then I saw the report from Jeff Grubb here. Didn't actually listen to the podcast. I'm sorry, Jeff Grubb. But I was reading articles about it. And I was getting excited. I was like, open world, single player. Oh, crap. The premise of it. I don't know what that means. Am I playing as T'Challa? I really want to play as T'Challa. I don't want to play as some random character. So I don't know what exactly that means. But still, I'm pumped. Let's do this. Let's do it. And then I saw the part that EA was the one publishing it. And I was just like, damn it.
That would ruin it.
It threw a wrench into it. It's not completely, and again, this is reportedly in very early development. So we're just kind of ragging on EA a little bit here. It's not like we're throwing this game away already. It hasn't been officially announced or anything. So we're not doing that. We're just ragging on EA a little bit. But it kind of threw a wrench into my excitement. I was hyped as hell. And then I saw that and I was just, all right. Well, Jedi Fallen Order is good, but it's EA. But they didn't want it to be like Jedi Fallen Order. But it's EA.
Yeah, but only because of Respawn.
So, and then I kind of, over the past few days since hearing about it, I've kind of cozied up a little bit to, like, okay, maybe it depends on what exactly we're going to get from this game. Let's see what it actually looks like. Let's see what they're doing with it. If this was a live service thing, I think I'd already be out on it. The fact it's an open world single player deal, 100% in on it. Let's see what you do. We're going to be a little concerned going in, but I still think this could be great. Are you more concerned about EA or the potential premise?
Just EA.
You think the EA should have more concern than the premise?
To be honest, yes. I can get an open world Black Panther game. Okay. Well,
the premise I'm saying is the game starts with Black Panther being dead.
Oh, granted. I'm not sure
if that's T'Challa or not sure if that's supposed to be his father, and you play as T'Challa.
Yeah. If that's the case and you're playing a young T'Challa, then absolutely. I mean it. If you're just like, hey, T'Challa's gone. I was like, okay, well, I guess you're not going with Shuri, and you're not going with Okoye, or you're not going with any established Wakandan characters. I don't know if that'll feel the same, because it was like, oh, I'm not really part of the culture. I'm not really learning anything about Wakanda. you would think the person who becomes the Black Panther would know plenty about Wakanda itself.
But we will have to wait and see until we learn more. Man, I do want to see more about this. More Marvel games. Come on now. I know Avengers wasn't the greatest thing in the world. People didn't love it. The problem
is some of that games is setting a new precedence of what we get with the Marvel game.
We got Marvel Spider-Man. We got Miles Morales. We got Marvel's Spider-Man 2. We got Wolverine. We got Guardians of the Galaxy. Let's get some awesome Marvel games in here, man. But let's move on to our main topic. GTA details have reportedly been revealed, including a potential release window and its protagonists. We started off our news this week with a Bloomberg report, so it seems fitting that we end our news coverage with another Bloomberg report. And hilariously enough, both stories were from gaming insider Jason Schreier. Anyway, Bloomberg recently dropped one hell of an article detailing what they know about the long-awaited Grand Theft Auto 6 and how the culture has changed around Rockstar. In regards to the culture at the company, it appears that things have greatly improved over the last several years, which is great to hear. And all in all, it seems that the studio has gotten much more worker-friendly and overall professional. Moving on to GTA 6, here are some of the notable cliff notes. These are just in bullet point form. The OG plans for GTA 6 apparently included large swaths of North and South America. Those plans were scaled back. I believe the code name for it was Project Americas at the time. But now the game is said to take place in a fictionalized Miami, Vice City, and some surrounding areas. Schreier goes on to state that Rockstar's current plan is to add new missions and new maps to GTA 6 over time. The game's map is still pretty massive, though, and has more interior areas than any other GTA game. The game will have two playable protagonists, one of whom will be Latina. The protagonists were influenced by Bonnie and Clyde. It seems like GTA may either be getting a change in tone or changing their comedy a little bit. In the report, it was said that developers are being cautious not to, quote, punch down, end quote, with their comedy. Lastly, let's talk about a release window. We're just going to directly quote the article here. Here we go. Quote, industry analysts anticipate the next Grand Theft Auto will be out in Take-Two's 2024 fiscal year, which runs from April 2023 through March 2024. But developers are skeptical. The game had been in development in some form since 2014. Although there are loose schedules in place, people interviewed for this article said they didn't know of any firm release date and that they expect the game to be at least 2 years away, end quote. Gaming insider Tom Henderson, who had previously provided a few reports about GTA 6 himself, commented on the Bloomberg article via Twitter. Here's what Henderson had to say. Quote, huge update on GTA 6 here. Even a trailer this year would suggest a fall 2024 release date. But personally, I'm leaning towards 2025 now. End quote. What's your take on this story? And do you think we could actually see the game hit that release window?
The release window is just that. It's just a window. It's an idea that the publisher is probably aiming for, depending on when they hit certain milestones. I'm sure it's just something so they can give to their shareholders. It was never meant for us to know about, because Rockstar has been very coy about GTA 6 and what's involved and how long it's been in development or when it even went into development. Because they have the exact reverse problem that Elder Scrolls has, where it's renounced way too early. I'm glad that they have at least a window, an idea of what they want to shoot for. If this game's been in development for the past, you said what, 2014? I mean 2017?
No, 2014. In some form.
Oh, wow. Okay. If early production started in 2014, and we do know that Rockstar has been moving more and more people over to Six Degrees, which means that it's full steam development. Everything is pushing ahead. I think a 2024 release date may be possible. Again, depending on those shareholder dates. So I think if that is true, if it's 2024, then we will have to wait until the Game Awards this year for a quick teaser, like a title screen, showing summer to winter, holiday 2023. I think summer 2024 is more probable. I think that's something that we'd be looking forward to. I think it's more of a summer game, because Grand Theft Auto coming out in March, I don't know. I don't think it's really gonna do much for the game there.
Let's be real, it doesn't even matter what month GTA 6 is coming out in.
It doesn't.
This game, it is going to shatter every single record a game could have in its first week, its first day, its first month, its first year, its 18 months, its 24 months, 27 months. It will be like that mother at the park talking about their child is 34 months old, breaking records. That is what it's going to be like for Rockstar. This game is going to just destroy records whenever it comes out. So, with all that being said, though, Michael, I don't think we're seeing this game next year. I don't think there's a snowball's chance in hell.
Oh, no, no.
Not even a possibility. What was the April 2023? From April 2023 on? Nah. We're good. Yeah, that ain't happening.
I think that window is more of a when we see a trailer for it or a teaser for it rather than an actual game.
What? That's what it is? Trier just got mixed up. It's like, oh no, that's not even for the game. That's for the trailer.
I think that's just their window of when they want to announce the game.
The game ain't coming out to 2030. What are you talking about?
Oh, man, that would be terrible. Like, nobody, everybody would be like, nah, I'm done. No Grand Theft Auto 6 for me, apparently.
But, I agree with you. I think this game is at least, I would say, fall 2024.
Okay.
I think it's not going to hit that window. I would say at least fall 2024, 2025. I'm kind of with Henderson on that. To where he said he's leaning towards 2025. And honestly, even though that's 3 years away, seeing this news about a release window makes me excited, because it gives me something, Michael. It gives me something to latch on to. It's not just people grasping at straws being like, well, we can get it next year, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the good things. Everybody's going to be like, oh, yeah, we're going to get a trailer soon. It's like, oh, no, we have a window. We have an idea.
We will be getting a trailer in the next probably year. I think that's a good thing to, I think, predict.
I think I give us six or 8 months.
And you look back months ago, hell, even weeks ago, it would be just a crapshoot to be like, when are we going to get a trailer? It could be in the next few weeks, could be 3 years from now. I don't know.
Yeah.
So just being like, so we know we're probably going to get a trailer sooner rather than later. And we kind of can get a feel for the game is coming out in the next 3 years. I'm good with that. I am completely fine with that. I know, I would love for it to be 2023, but just the fact that we can kind of like narrow it down just a little bit, and we can get out of the space to where we're all just throwing shit at a wall, hoping it sticks. it's very good to hear. Now, getting into the real quick, I do want to mention about the Rockstar stuff at the company. Really glad to hear things improved there, because it was not really. There was a lot of not good stuff being talked about over the past several years at Rockstar. And so it's really good to hear that things have vastly improved. And I think it was described in the Bloomberg article that it went from like a boys club to a, it's like a boys club to a real company. I was just like, what am? All right. Rockstar, then they're grown up. All right. So that's good to hear that things have gotten better at the studio, and hopefully it stays that way. Do you have anything to say on that real quick?
I hope Rockstar sets a new precedent of how things work, because Red Dead Redemption 2 had that controversy right at the end, right before it was launching, of how bad crunch was and how bad the mental health was for Rockstar at that time. So it's good to hear that it's changing over there, and that just means that Grand Theft Auto 6 hopefully won't have to suffer crunch as bad as Red Dead Redemption 2, because Rockstar loves their grounded realism mixed with modern gaming nonsense.
Yeah, and I kind of get the feeling that this is just me, and it said that in the article that this game has been in development in some way since 2014. I kind of get the feeling that by in some way, it's like, well, we had some ideas. So that's technically where it started. But it kind of gets the feeling that full force wasn't put into making this game up until probably a little while ago. So I can understand the game taking as long as it's
going
to take.
Well, I mean, with Rockstar going full steam ahead, it just means that they're far enough into production to where they need more people to get things done with the time limit without crunch. So I think that's the way I see it, is that you have more people come in to avoid the crunch that they were infamous for beforehand. They're bringing in more people to hit those milestones either sooner or more efficiently. So bringing in more devs, I always feel, is a good call from publishers.
What it feels like to me, based on not just this report, but from Rockstar, everything we've heard over the past few years, is right now, and taking the remasters out of the equation, because that's its own problem entirely, but it feels like with Grand Theft Auto 6, their thing is, we're doing it right. We don't care when it comes out, we're doing it right, because we gotta hit it. You know what I mean? It's gotta be a home run when we release this game. So we don't care when exactly it's releasing, it's just gotta be done right. So I think taking that approach is also smart. And the fact that it appears like we do have a legit release window, going back to that, is really cool. So yeah, that's all really cool to hear about with Rockstar internally and with the release window. But we got to talk about some of these details here, man, from this Bloomberg report. We got our protagonist. It looks to be like a Bonnie and Clyde kind of pairing, which is pretty cool. We got the fact that they're going to be adding more maps over time, which I think would be awesome. I know some people have problems with that, but that's something I kind of want GTA 5 to do.
I'm not really sure about the whole multiple protagonists kind of deal. It kind of worked in Grand Theft Auto 5. I like to see how they do it here, since it's gonna be dubbed down to two characters, apparently, the whole Bonnie and Clyde deal, because we all know how that story ends.
But for me, these details of the GTA 6 itself, I like the idea, like I mentioned earlier, that they're gonna add maps over time. I think that's a really good decision. Yeah, it gives it to where the developers can really focus on Vice City at first and making that as good as possible. And then they can start to focus on bringing Los Santos from GTA 5 over, or Liberty City. I could see also Los Santos being the first one. It's the easiest probably to take over.
Look, Rockstar, all I want is story DLCs. If you're going to do that, if you're going to do this live service deal, at least give me story DLCs like you did with the Grand Theft Auto Online.
That's what I can see them doing. Is like, okay, we're gonna do story DLCs, but it's gonna be with your GTA Online character. And I think
I
you can that. Make
I don't,
that
I
work.
I want a legit story. We brought it up before, like the Battle of Gay Tony, like have the where you like you said, those DLCs have their stories eventually connected. I want something like that. I want something that's actually like part of the GTA world, not just, hey, here's random character with a story that doesn't really fit in Grand Theft Auto 6 because we don't care.
With the game taking place in Vice City, I think that's the next logical step for this franchise. You've been to Liberty City, you've already done Los Santos, it's been so long that we've been in Los Santos that even, like, I do think the first city brought to GTA 6 would be Los Santos. Even thinking that, I would be like, alright, that's a little too soon. But it's the easiest. So, that's why I think they'd do it.
Also, you gotta think about the time period. Are they doing more modern?
Oh, I think they're doing modern. I think you can just do modern times and it fit in with GTA 5 and everything there, so you can just literally take Los Santos, do whatever you want to that, and then bring it over. But with the protagonists, I think the three protagonists work great in GTA 5. I love the way that all three of them interacted, how different all three of them were, and how basically Trevor and Michael were like these psychopathic mentors for Franklin.
Yeah, Michael was more of a messed up anchor that kind of tried to hold things together, like try to hold things down to where it didn't get out of hand. But
see, I see Franklin as the anchor.
I see him more as the heart.
Yeah. Well, I would see Franklin as the anchor just because he's the one who keeps the two together and kind of, at the end of the day, picks the death wish option and they actually get everything done. So, but I think you having those multiple characters, it really works. I think putting a female protagonist into the game is a really cool decision. I would love to see what they're going to do with it and the other protagonists, though. I would love to see what they're just going to do with this story. Because, like, the change in tone, alright? I don't know where I land on it. Because, definitely, I don't want them to be making jokes that are punching down to where, also, whether it be in a week, 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years, they're going to look back on that joke and be like, ah, that didn't age well. It was kind of stupid. So, yeah, definitely don't do that. But, yeah, it is a satire on America and just the world, really, when you think about it. So, yeah. I hope they keep that, if that's the tone they want to go for, is we're going to be a satire of this. But I'm kind of intrigued, too, by the concept of doing a serious GTA story. Because I'm one of those people who loved Red Dead Redemption 2's cinematic story with Arthur Morgan and how his arc went out. So I would be very interested if they went into a more serious story for GTA 6.
Yeah, I'm down for it too.
Anything else to say, though, about these details before we move on?
Nope, I got nothing. Just focus on the single player. You can do what you did last time and just have Grand Theft Auto Online 2 come out separate at another time. Like, I hope they do that. I hope they don't try to push them both together.
Oh no, GTA Online, I can definitely see that coming out like a month after GTA 6. Just because that's what they did with Red Dead, it's what they did with GTA 5. I think they want to force the player to play the single player first. So, but let's get out of here. Let's talk about what we're playing for this week. Michael, what you playing?
This weekend, I actually won't be playing a whole lot because I will be in Tokyo OK out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 29th, 30th, and 31st, I'll be out in Tulsa, Oklahoma at Tokyo OK. And I have my panel on Saturday where I talk about video game journalism. So that will be my weekend.
As for me, I've been playing a little bit of Destiny 2. I saw that Witch Queen expansion was on sale, and I looked at my wallet and went, all right, fine. Go ahead and take my money.
Ooh, so, sacrifices were made.
Sacrifices were made, for sure. But it's a lot of fun getting back into Destiny. The one thing that Destiny 2 will always have, and just Destiny in general, because it's Bungie, the gunplay of Destiny is one of the best I've ever played in my life. It's just, it's so fun to keep going back to over and over. It's, you'll do the same missions, literally the same missions over and over and over. And every time I play, it's just, it's still fun. It doesn't make any sense. I can't logically explain this feeling to you.
They got you in the loop.
Yeah, they really do. But let's get out of here. Be sure to join our Discord, which is the best way to contact us for now. If you like what you heard, consider leaving us a rating on whatever platform you follow us on. Check out thenerdstash.com for more in the world of gaming, movies, television, and just so much more. We have tons of reviews, lists, opinion pieces, and guides for you to look at, including some guides on multiverses. So be sure to check out thenerdstash.com. Oh, and real quick before we go, Michael, I forgot to ask, where can people find you?
Oh, well, you can find me on Twitter at @M_MOSLEY_JR. If you find a weirdo in a fox hoodie, congratulations, you're in the right place. And while I won't be streaming this weekend, you can catch me on Twitch every Saturday and Sunday evening at Fox Daddy. That's twitch.tv/F0XDADDY.
I want to thank Michael for joining me. I want to thank anyone for listening to us. We'll be back next week with some more gaming news. See you then.